I'm Sophie Crow, coming to you from above topsecret.com with an ATS podcast. Responding to discussion on the podcast.
Quakes, trigger quakes.
Thank you all. You guys are great, and you are doing some really good work here. I appreciate it, and I know everyone else does too. I'm learning a lot from you. So again, thank you. Do quakes trigger quakes? Well, it's fairly clear that they do. Not always, but certainly sometimes. Most important, one quake can trigger another remotely, that is, geographically distant, and also remote in terms of time. We may not see an acute geological impact until years later, in a completely different place. So, why is that? Well, our planet is a system. Like the old explanation of chaos theory says, a butterfly flapping its wings in Peking can cause a snowstorm in Toronto. Does that really happen? Not really. It's more of an analogy. But what the butterfly story illustrates is very important. It means that even very small things can impact large systems in unpredictable ways, and in ways that are totally out of proportion to the first event. It means that an event as minor as a butterfly flapping its wings can set off a sequence of events, a cascade, that may result in a huge reaction, thousands of miles away, and sometimes decades down the road. The butterfly story emphasizes the importance of looking at events as part of a systemic process, a process that involves systemic response, adjustment, and adaptation. Nothing much in this world, really, occurs as an isolated circumstance involving one direct cause and a single effect. The truth is, we just don't see the many events that contribute to creating cascades that result in earthquakes or volcanic activity. We don't see them, partly because we don't know what to look for. But also, we don't identify the minor events and contributing factors simply because we just don't look. We don't want to see them. It's the ostrich syndrome in action. And yes, absolutely, there are forces in play and powers that want to keep our attention directed elsewhere. It's really important to me that we focus here on humanity as a whole and our planet, and not be distracted by corporate concerns of liability or profit or anything else. Corporate pseudo-scientific arguments already get plenty of airtime on other media. This is our turf. In this thread, my first premise is that what we do affects the Earth, in this case, geologically. There is lots of scientific evidence, but more, it's just good common sense. You do anything to a piece or a part of a system, you affect the whole system. It's really simple, but maybe too obvious. I mean, like, go out and put some makeup on your carburetor. Make it look nice. I'm not sure if you should use oil or water-based makeup, but that carburetor looks bad. Like, you need to do something. And tell me how your car runs after your carburetor makeover. So, my main question here is how? How are we affecting our planet's geology? Its geological system. Let's look at the various things we've done and consider the possible effects. But no, I don't expect to find proof of direct cause and effect relationships. It's not going to happen, because that's not how systems work. As True American says, we are not anywhere near addressing the complexity of the situation. We still are looking at isolated factors, and mainly, we are looking at these factors in isolation. So we still have a ways to go. Certainly, compaction is a factor, as is soil and rock conductivity, and man-made changes in conductivity. Then we have amplitude and frequency, and we need to consider the different kinds of seismic waves. There's a lot to think about, assimilate, and integrate. One of the big controversies here on this thread comes out of the question, have we created underground echo chambers that increase the amplitude of seismic waves? Just to clarify, that question was a teaser, and I don't apologize. It needed to be simple to fit with the podcast format. It simply directed attention and opened inquiry, as it was meant to do. True American addressed the question in his first response and clarified that under certain conditions, seismic wave amplification might take place. He specified that numerous factors are involved, including the size and shape of the chamber and the material creating the chamber. Valhall reiterated that the Los Alamos study shows that specific amplitudes impact specific materials. If I'm not mistaken, she also claimed that empty underground chambers always serve as baffles and always, or almost always, attenuate both frequency and amplitude. Now, Loam is asking, can we agree that the larger the chamber, the more it will impede waves at all frequencies? My answer, Loam, is no. First off, in spirit, the question is meant to be bigger than that. But I now am more inclined to think that certain now empty underground chambers might in fact amplify seismic waves. In any event, whether or not the waves are amplified, certain chambers may direct or redirect seismic waves to new locations. What if a seismic wave originating in Wyoming travels through the now empty Ogallala Aquifer to New Mexico or Texas, and then bumps into a rock wall barrier that just happens to resonate with that seismic wave? What happens next? What's the impact? The Los Alamos study says the key factor is amplitude for one quake to cause another, and found that specific amplitudes impact specific materials. Everyone here seems to be saying that frequency is critical. So what other factors might influence the outcome? And what happens when we go outside the identifiable geological system to consider other and apparently unrelated factors, like magnetic radiation? Might waves of magnetic radiation be a factor in this planet's systemic seismic activity? Regarding induced earthquakes, I have to ask, are induced quakes really isolated events, unrelated to anything that might follow? Or are they equivalent to a butterfly flapping its wings? True American, you state that a quake only could trigger a quake in the same fault line. I want to draw your attention to an ATSNN article written by Fred T. titled, Asia Quake Impacts Virginia Well Water Levels. So my question to you is, if the Asia quake could impact Virginia well water levels, what's stopping it from doing something else? And I want to know, how the heck did that happen? Also, true American, your idea of digging foot-wide trenches around cities to act as baffles to stop seismic waves and protect cities from earthquakes' worst effects. Now, that's an interesting concept. Worth investigating, I would say. Okay, that's it for now from me. Great stuff, guys. Keep it coming.
You gotta get some information. You gotta find out. You gotta get some. You gotta get some.
You gotta get some information. You gotta wake up. You gotta think.